We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Spring game Marky Banez, who's been retired for a while now and had this big retirement extravaganza that a lot of people got jealous. They didn't get invited to. I did. I'm not jealous at all, but some people were jealous.
Well, no, now that we're here, I didn't know we even got invited, and I feel guilty because I didn't find out till after the fact that I guess you did send an invitation to us.
Invitation to us right here at the station.
Yeah, but I didn't see it.
No, I didn't see it either.
And I feel bad. Mark, I apologize.
Honestly, you know what I think happened? Honestly, I think Guru found the invitation because Guru was beating his chest about being invited, and he wanted to one-up us all here. That's what happened. I truly believe that happened. Lay off.
I think you need to talk to your mailroom person, guys.
That person doesn't exist anymore, Mark.
Yeah,
budget cuts.
Post-pandemic budget cuts, unfortunately.
Hey, before we start, I got to tell you, you've caught me in an unbelievable mood. I did not see Thursday night football last night. You want to know why?
Why is that?
My daughter gave birth to her first child.
Oh, congratulations.
Give me the applause button, please.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
I'm a grandpa this morning, man.
For the first time?
No, with my daughter.
Got it.
I got two little ones before, but three boys, man. I'm a third of the way to a baseball team.
There you go.
Two more, you got to start in five, man. Go play some hoops.
Well, he's probably going to platoon them like Farhan.
Oh, man. You start right in.
Let's not end the interview before it starts.
Still alive.
Do you want to talk about the Giants? Come on.
I like you. I'm going to ask your permission. You know, can I talk as a fan for a second?
Yeah, that's please, what I do every day, and people hate me for it.
No, I'm in euphoria, right, about the perfect birth of my grandson and all that. And I'm watching the Giants game. What am I out on an island alone? But the kid hits a grand slam, right? His first major league home run for the Giants last night. And then you pinch hit for him later because the lefty-righty thing, the platoon. I mean, I can understand it if they were in a chase for something. And, you know, I did watch the post-game show where they tried to say the Giants are still alive. But, you know, just being real, I'm a fan now, you guys, you know. So, but, I mean, how can you pinch hit for a kid who just hit a grand slam? I think that's demoralizing, and I think that's carrying out the lefty-righty thing too far in a game that really doesn't mean that much. Come on. What do you think?
I'm with you. I'm with you, Mark. I mean, it makes no sense to me. But that's the story of the Gabe Kapler / Farhan Zaidi Giants, and we'll see what they do this offseason. By the way, a lot of people on YouTube asking if Steiny paid up on the bet. What was the bet, and what is he supposed to pay off?
Well, he was very, very adamant last year. Just the season had just ended for the 49ers, and he said, just Jimmy Garoppolo's gone. He's out of here. No way. He's coming back. It's not happening. So just as adamant as he was, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm listening on the car radio like anybody else. So I call him up and I go, no, man, you can't. You can't just make a definitive statement like that. You don't know what they're thinking. I'm going to bet you right now a case of beer that Jimmy Garoppolo is on the 49ers next year.
So it's your fault. So it's your fault that we're discussing Jimmy Garoppolo again for the sixth. And we're in the twilight zone, Mark. So it's all your fault.
There you go. But anyway, he did. People want to know he did pay up. We decided, not to. I'm not a big beer drinker, so. So we went with a couple of 7-7s. We went to Krogan's up in Montclair, and he was happy to pay up. He, didn't even let me touch the bill. So all even, man. It's all good. And you just never know in pro sports, right?
No, you don't. Mark, I want your opinion on this. For so many years, you did the point after, you know, breaking down the 49ers. Most of the big wins, it was you. It was Bubba Paris, Fonzie, like the whole squad over there. Like that was part of the religion of 49er football on Sundays that I was birthed into. So I want your perspective on this. It feels like every single day there is drama coming out of the 49ers. It's the kid. It's the coach. It's the assistant leaving. This guy's hurt. That guy's hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, my God. Did you see what he said when we zoomed in and he's walking off the field? Like, what is that a byproduct of? Is that just the society that we're in right now? Is that the 49ers are so popular that the East Coast has finally realized they can generate a lot of attention and clicks through this? Is this football? Like, what do you make of why there's just so much stuff with the Niners hour to hour?
Well, like most things, it's not just one thing. It's an accumulation. And I think right at the top of the list, you got to say social media, because it's instant gratification.
Yeah.
I can put something out on Twitter or what have you, and all of a sudden, you know, I've started a little fire, right? And back in the day, for instance, the Steve Young, Joe Montana controversy, quarterback quandary, whatever you want to call it, was a lot more intense because there was acrimonious feelings there. I don't get the sense that with, you know, Trey Lance obviously hurt now, but the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, you know, maybe a mild annoyance. But if there had been Twitter and all the avenues of communication out back then, it would have really turned into something big, because there was some harsh feelings there. There was some harsh feelings toward Bill Walsh. By a lot, you know, everybody looks back at Bill as the genius and the architect of all these championships and all that. But people were really ticked off at him for even thinking about replacing Joe Montana. You know, the nerve of this guy to come in and think he can bring in Steve Young, and then, you know, Joe didn't appreciate it. And I think it's just the society we're in now because of the instantaneous ability to respond to anything. And I think we're all hungry for it, because sports talk radio in those days, for instance, was not even a full-time thing.
No.
There was no full-time 24/7 sports talk radio broadcast outlet in the Bay, and now there are there's only one that I know of, and that's you guys.
Mark, can I ask you about Walsh here? A two-parter on this one. And the first part, how would he have viewed what happened with Trey Lance? Just how he was being utilized. Not that he just went down because of the injury, but like the depth of how he's been used, the development, all of that, and the kind of the situation that they've put him in, the incubator. And was Walsh considered quote-unquote arrogant during his time? Because I'm hearing a lot of people kind of point that word at Kyle Shanahan, and I'm just curious how was Bill viewed, I guess, back then?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. You know, the thing about it is that, you know, one of my buddies kind of put it in context. He said, designing all these running plays for Trey Lance is like entering a Lamborghini into one of those Rock'em Sock'em crash events, you know, the car, what do they call them?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Derby, one of those crash derbies.
Yeah, roller derby. Yeah. Come to the Cow Palace on Tuesday and see Road Warrior.
Yeah, and they have them for cars, you know, on Friday nights at the fair where they blast each other. But, you know, I think that Bill Walsh had a certain arrogance about him, but the thing was, he was smooth. He was a lot smoother. You had a feeling that this is a guy of extreme intelligence that is well versed in other areas. He was more of a Renaissance man. You know, he was well read. He was a history buff. He was well educated and erudite, and he carried that with him. Whereas Kyle Shanahan, you know, for lack of a better term, seems like a football brat who grew up, you know, on third base, and he thought he hit a triple. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you were kind of in that era, in that environment from the time you were a little kid. And Bill Walsh, I think, you know, had that feeling of I'll tell you what started the arrogant talk about Bill Walsh was when he came out with that statement that basically it's better to get rid of players a year early than a year too late. And a lot of people took offense at that. And I know for a fact in talking to a lot of the players, I mean, you know, in hindsight, revisionist history, we look back and you think, everything was rosy. Everything was great. All the players loved him. And that's not the way it was. A lot of those players, I'm not going to mention names, but man, you got a lot closer to players back then and formed relationships with them. And they would tell you if they trusted you off the record. And I can tell you, all is rosy now in hindsight, but there were some very upset players who did not like that idea of being treated like robots, like get rid of them a year early before, the crank starts breaking, you know?
No doubt.
But I think there was a sense that Bill kind of earned his lofty status as a genius.
Do you think Kyle Shanahan has, Mark, as we're talking to Mark Ibanez, longtime television anchor for KTVU Channel 2 here on the Morning Rose. He's a grandpa again. Baby girl had a child last night, so we're happy about that. Grandpa times three. But what do you think about that, Mark? And then, like, the players running to the columnist and Michael Silver saying, you know, Jimmy gives us a better chance to win. Like, that to me was tacky about this entire situation.
Yeah, well, there's so many things about this that have made it untenable, and it could get uglier if this season unravels. But I think what we're learning this year, and you know what's cool about retirement, guys, is that I'm looking at it a lot differently. Like, if I don't like the way the game's going or whatever, you know, the Giants, what have you, I can turn it off, right?
Right.
You know, I don't have to remember everybody's name, and I don't have to try to think of something clever, and I'm seeing it kind of from a different viewfinder, if you will. And what I'm really seeing about the 49ers, I could go on and on about the Giants because, you know, that's where my heart is on baseball. But what I'm seeing is some cracks in the armor of Kyle Shanahan. And I never, from the get-go, bought into throwing that word genius around. Offensive genius. He's a mastermind play caller. And I don't think he's earned that in any way, shape, or form. And what I started noticing in that game, what really struck me about that horrible Denver game is Niners get off to a nice start, but there doesn't seem to be a killer instinct with this team and Shanahan's coaching philosophy offensively to really put the hammer down on people. Like, when's the last time the 49ers won a game under Shanahan 41-3.
Right.
You know?
It's been like since, you got to go like 2019 when they beat up on the Panthers and the Browns.
Yeah.
And I saw a killer instinct there. Green Bay on Sunday Night Football, 37-8. We saw the killer instinct. Where did it go?
Yeah, I'm not feeling that. And I think Shanahan, when he gets any kind of a lead, he gets way too conservative. And they actually play better from behind offensively because there just seems to be less of reining things in. Mm-hmm. And if you notice carefully, if you listen to Jimmy Garoppolo carefully after that first game, when he came in unexpectedly, he said, you know, it felt good to cut it loose a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was free and easy. They weren't being dictated to by the constraints of the playbook that Shanahan has. Did you guys get the feeling he was ad-libbing a little more?
Yes.
And slinging it?
He was, but then you know what, Mark? It falls on deaf ears when he goes out there and have the performance like he did on Sunday night, like running out of the back of the end zone for
Mark,
the pick 8.
I've never seen that. Like, what was that? First, the play call, like from the one, let's throw a screen, and then Jimmy, like, and the worst thing, Trent goes down for, well, I don't know, a month, okay, on that play. They threw a pick 6. The safety was like the third, like it wasn't even that bad in comparison to the other two outcomes.
No, and, you know, what blew me away about that play was field awareness.
Thank you.
Quarterback. You know, I've just never seen a quarterback, and that wasn't even close. Like, you could see if, like, half a cleat was on the end line.
Planted both feet and tried to throw a dive, and he's up throwing a pick 6. They're like, dear God, blow the play dead.
Yeah, and intuitively, you know how they always say quarterbacks, the great quarterbacks can kind of feel the rush.
Yeah.
You know, they know when. You've got to be able to feel where you are in the end zone. That blew me away.
Yeah.
But I'm a little frustrated with the way Shanahan operates, and you know, things that I don't understand are like how everybody just jumps to this conclusion, like, oh, hey, they're playing the Rams. Remember last year when they got off to a bad start and they played the Rams and they lit it up on national TV and they turned their season around? Like, that has anything to do with now?
Yeah,
you know? Thank you, Mark. Gosh,
Mark,
man, this is gospel.
It is, and I love hearing from you, Mark Abanez, the legend. And man, just you got to sit down with us and break bread more often. But I'm looking at this. We were talking about Steph Curry because the Warriors played this morning in Japan. And I remember a time when the 49ers went to Japan to play in NFL games in the early 90s.
I was there. One of the top 10 highlights of my broadcast career.
Yeah.
He played the Broncos, right?
Yeah, incredible. Yeah. So I'm talking about Steph Curry, and I was selling Bonte. And I said this after that game, and I'm going to say it probably till my dying breath. It's one of the greatest individual games I've ever seen, given the magnitude of the moment. Game 4 last year in Boston, you know, Steph Curry, 43 points, just incredible. Ties up the series. Felt like it changed everything. If we put Bumgarner's Game 7, Steph Curry's Game 4, like, what are we missing here in terms of the things you've seen as a lifelong Bay Area resident? What are these seminal individual performances in these championship environments that you got to put up in this short list? Are those two guys on that list, and are there any that we maybe haven't thought of?
Holy mackerel, man. That's a tough one to throw my way.
I'm sorry.
But, no, that's okay. But certainly that, and, you know, I remember being a teenager when Rick Barry stood up, you know.
Good call. 75.
Good call. Yep. Yeah, that predates
Let's do this, Mark. I'm going to steal this from Jay LaFrey on our YouTube page. Let's go.
Okay.
Mark Ibanez pre-mustache, greatest performance in championship Bay Area sports history. And then post-mustache. Mark Ibanez pre-mustache and post-mustache. Because you were a legend. With the stash or without it, you're still legendary.
Oh, man. You know, for me, growing up as a 49er fan, as a kid, you can't get around what Joe Montana did, because he completely changed the psyche of the Bay Area when it came to football. 49ers had fervent fans, but it was always kind of like, it's fun to watch them, and they're never going to win a Super Bowl. And I witnessed in the early stages of my career him, you know, and Ronnie Lott just almost single-handedly changing the way we viewed our team, like, hey, we can actually win. I don't think, you know, in that Dallas Cowboy, the famous Dwight Clark game, I don't think anybody honestly, deep down, thought we were going to win that game. You know, the 49ers were going to win that game because the Cowboys had doused our dreams so many times. So to me, when I look back over the course of those 43, 45 years, whatever, it's really Joe Montana at the core changing it and for the 49ers, because all of a sudden we viewed ourselves as winners and not this poor little team that was, you know, always going to lose to, you know, the Dallas Cowboys or, you know, teams back east. So what he did, you know, with the Super Bowls, you know, never threw an interception in a Super Bowl, those kinds of things, can't be calculated, though, with statistics because of the fact that, you know, what he did was just change the overall psychological, just the psyche of the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And you know, they used to say on Channel 2, like, you could put up a full screen of the 49ers logo during the 80s, and it would draw a rating. I mean, hey, the 49ers logo's on TV. Let's watch it. You know, or they didn't have open houses on Sunday. You know, those kinds of things. And you know, I think before the Giants actually won a World Series, you know, it was kind of similar attitude about the Giants, like fun to watch, very passionate fans and all of that. But, you know, are we ever going to win a World Series? We never thought, you know, wow, in my lifetime, did I think the Giants were going to win a World Series?
And now we're there with the Warriors.
And that's why I hold Lincecum in such high regard, because of how he did change the culture. And that's why I hold Steph Curry in such high regard, the same way that you're talking about Montana.
It. Yeah, that is exactly it. You are seeing what is basically the same phenomenon with Steph Curry that Joe Montana did. So you guys get it. Because with the Warriors, it was always like, look how excited we got with, you know, the team that, you know, the Baron Davis team. They didn't even make it past the second round. But we look back on it like it was a legendary team. Well, Steph Curry took, you know, the baton and went to the next level. And I don't think, you know, obviously years and years and years from now, he'll always be viewed as the guy who helped turn the Warriors into this massive global team that is so popular everywhere. So it's pretty cool to have witnessed basically three layers of that. You know, Montana, you could say Lincecum, you could throw in Matt, Buster Posey,
yes,
to me.
Yep.
You know, which I don't know how you guys feel, but I think he'll be a much needed and important addition to that ownership group. Yeah. I'm glad he's on the board of six that'll be helping to make these decisions, because I think that team, they need some input from somebody who's played recently and isn't sitting behind a computer screen measuring statistics and playing fantasy baseball with real people's lives.
Analytics.
I love you, Mark.
Analytics, Mark, with the walk-off. Hey, next time we see you, you'll probably be sitting on the 50-yard line at a Niners game or courtside at a finals game. I mean, you're sitting next to A-Rod and Joe Lacob, and I knew then that I couldn't touch you. I was like, hey, Mark, how you doing? And you didn't return my text for like 3 weeks. I was like, oh, that's Marky Pod, yes.
Get out of here. And so you retaliate by not coming to my retirement.
Oh, my God. Hey, here's what I want to know.
Yeah, we went on strike.
Did Guru say goodbye when he left, or did he just do the Irish goodbye thing?
And one more. There's some people who think, and David Bruce is going to hate me for saying this, but some people think David invited himself.
What?
No,
that's what the streets are saying. No, we're kidding,
that's
David.
That's not fair.
No, we're kidding, David.
I'm
going to
get
kidding.
A Damon text no, in like that, 6 seconds.
Yeah, no, I know. He's going to rip me on his show. I know it's coming.
That is not right, but it was a great time, and I know you guys both had reasons for not being there, but, you know, it's all good, because I'll have another one. I'll have a year anniversary retirement.
We will be there.
Don't be
seriously.
A stranger. We miss you, man. Hearing your voice.
We love fan Marky Bañez. The streets love it. YouTube's going crazy. They love this Marky Bañez. Yep.
Well, I thank you guys for giving the old guy a chance to get back on the airwave. It's been great. And I tell you what, the best thing about retirement is what I told you guys, just being able to watch again from a fan's point of view. You see a different version of it, and it really kind of reignites your love for sports, why you got into it in the first place.
And, there it is.
You know, it's been cool for me.
Yep. Congratulations, Mark. Grandpa.
Yep, congratulations, Mark.
Much blessings
we'll
to you and your family.
We got to do this once a month,
miss
man.
You.
Once a month, we'll have to do it.
Appreciate you having me on, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.